Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The antiphon and the kind of weird name for this Sunday come from 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Quasimodo geniti infantis is simply the Latin for like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Be children, it says. Now that might be surprising, since most of us here are adults. But we should be like children instead, in this way, that we long for and crave the sincere spiritual milk of God's Word like a newborn baby for its mother's milk. We do not ever get past that, the milk. At least that's what Peter is teaching here. Being a Christian is not like growing up into a self-sufficient man, ready to move out of his parents' house, finally, able to handle everything and anything that the world should throw his way, all by himself. No, we are not able to drink poison and stomach it, or to taste the world's lies about God and to filter them out. We need what is good, and what is good for newborn infants. For we are not those who are growing up into ourselves, realizing our potential. We are to grow up into salvation. Now there are, of course, plenty of examples of how we are like children and not very adult-like. We live in a world that has classified the things that are absolutely evil as adult. These are, in fact, the things they're supposed to be aspired to. They are the things that are safe for adults once they get old enough. And the truth is that those are the things that are dangerous, deadly, forever. But so also, even in spiritual things, our eagerness to grow up often ends up missing what Peter is telling us. If we think that we have mastered the milk of, say, Ephesians 8, 9, saved by grace through faith, now we have to move on to the meat, right? To verse 10, to getting around to doing all those good works. Or maybe we are childish in this way. We think that we've made it to Easter Sunday, so that means that we don't need the Lord's quasi-modo gifts. We are those who can say in one moment, Pastor, I want more meat. I want something new. I want something fresh to take home. And then in the very next moment, to be blown away to discover something from the Bible, an insight into our sinful nature, or a connection to what Christ has done that we have never seen before. Or simply to have the Scriptures opened up to us like those disciples on Easter Sunday, and to be overcome with the joy of salvation that is restored to us. And yet none of it would be new at all, of course. It is just that same pure spiritual milk of God's holy word. In my lifetime, and in some of yours, I can think of no greater rediscovery that is happening in the church than the rediscovery of what is going on and what was instituted in today's Gospel from John 20. The office of the keys, and particularly the charge to speak the forgiveness of sins to penitent Christians. What it is talking about is confession and absolution. And that is the joy that Easter brings. That is the joy which Jesus is giving to you and me, dear Christians. It's the first thing he does when he rises from the dead. He speaks peace. He shows them the wounds that have won their salvation. And then he sends these apostles and says, your job is to be forgiving sins. But how many lifelong Lutherans have never learned about this? And even still to this day have never had the chance to experience the delight of confessing their sins out loud, truthfully, and even better, receiving absolution, that is forgiveness, from their pastor as from Christ himself. And dear saints, this isn't some arcane, secret, hidden treasure in the Bible that you only get once you've grown up a little more. It's one of only six things that we claim to believe, right? Only six parts of the catechism. This is one of them, a full part. And this Bible reading isn't one of the obscure passages. It's the one that we hear every Sunday. The first thing we hear after Easter Sunday is plain as day every year. The crazy thing to say, I suppose, would be, you should try it. You should be like little infants, newborns, craving this pure spiritual milk of God's word, his peace, his forgiveness. Now, boy, it is hard for us not to hear this antiphon for today as a great rebuke to us. Because where has our craving gone? Why is it that we have been chasing after the bread that does not satisfy? Why is it that we don't like to be called children? The devil has also put a trick into many hearts and minds to make us hate learning anything in general. He says, you know, if you are a learner, that means that you depend on someone else. And that means that you aren't complete yet, and you don't want to be that. That's not right. Then, I think if you couple that hatred of learning that the devil works in us with all of the world's current obsession with judging and shaming, well then soon, learning itself becomes shameful, right? If you're a learner, someone's trying to heap their shame on you because you don't know everything yet. Couldn't be a less Christian idea. But see then, dear Christians, how our Lord Jesus, he doesn't come shaming his disciples. He comes speaking peace. And at the same time, he comes to them as a teacher to his disciples, to his learners. He intends that the nations to whom they are going to preach would also become disciples and never move away from that. So also he calls his disciples children of God. And none of these names, none of these titles are insults. If you won't be a disciple, or if you won't be a child, then you won't be a Christian. And if you are a disciple, if you are a learner still, and if you are a child, if you are an infant, craving the spiritual milk of his word, then you are Christian. You are Christ's. And all of his blessings are yours too. Jesus died and he rose to make you just this, children of the Heavenly Father. Now, we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection know that Easter is the beginning and it is the source of our true life. Therefore, dear Christians, we should consider ourselves back at the beginning again today, the first Sunday after the beginning. That's just how the church year is treating it today. We are all baptized, because just as our baptism buried us with Christ into his death and his raised us to new life with him in his resurrection, so observing that death and that resurrection this past week has brought us back to our baptism. It started us again. And that means then that you, dear saints, are as newborn infants today. You are those who are born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but you are born of God. You are born from above by water and the Spirit. You are baptized. And that is the sort of child that you are. Not childish, but you are beloved child belonging to him. You are his heir. You are his joy. Christ returns from the grave bearing the wounds which your sins caused. But he is not angry. He comes to you and he says, peace. He declares the forgiveness of sins won by those very wounds to you. And this is that milk. This is the pure, sincere, nourishing, basic formula that all infants of God need. The forgiveness of sins and the Lord's word. Thomas, with all of his childish doubts and his excuses, needed it. But so also the other 10 disciples who were there, who were still afraid, who were still locking the doors, even after so many appearances of their risen Lord Jesus. They needed it. And the Lord gives it. He comes again to his grown men acting so childish, and he does not tell them to grow up. He tells them to feast like newborns. And he comes to us too, because we still need it. Confess your sins and be forgiven. Return to your baptism. Pray and meditate on this simple but pure and wholesome words of God. Today, the psalm from our intro is quite different, actually, than most of them that we've been hearing and saying. Because it isn't our words today, or Christ's words to his Father, but it's actually the Father's words spoken to us. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt. These are an echo of the very words that were spoken by him to Israel when they were baptized into Moses in the cloud of the Red Sea, when they were brought out of bondage and made into a people holy to the Lord. These are the words that God in the Old Testament always used to bring them back to himself. As often as they fell away, or as often as they thought they had outgrown him. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord. Just so. The pure, concentrated and sincere milk of the gospel returns us to his bedrock promise to be our God, our peace, and our source of all true good. Through repentance and the forgiveness of sins, we are constantly returned to our baptism. We are infants again. We are disciples. We are Christians. And so we hear from the psalm, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. With sweetness from the rock, I will satisfy you. The gospel is your milk. The message that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. And even this gift of his body and his blood. Crave it like a newborn, like the newborn baptized infants that you are. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.